Hey everybody, just wanted to start the show by thanking my wonderful patrons, Pete Harney, Ryan Payne of the Gamers Week podcast, Dan of Retrologic, Seth Sturgill of the All N podcast, Julian of Nerds Without Pants, and Tim Knowles of the Elitist. All of these dudes are graciously hanging with me through the lean months of August and September, and I greatly appreciate it. If you want to join them, go to patreon.com/agamerlooks40. Take a look at the tiers and sign up today. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Let's get into it. If you listen to this show with any regularity, you know that I love video game magazines, especially Nintendo Power. The first issue I received in July of 1988 was a revolution. It blew my mind. A 100-page magazine dedicated to my favorite pastime. Mario 2 on the cover, maps to the second quest of The Legend of Zelda, tips and tricks. It was eye-opening, it was mind-expanding, and it was, frankly, thrilling as a kid. You see, as a kid, I only got about two games a year, birthday and Christmas, and since my birthday is 2 days after Christmas, there wasn't a lot of room for new releases in the middle of the year, and maybe I'd get another one or my brother would get something, but at the end of the day, those were my options. I got maybe a few games a year. Nintendo Power and magazines like it, they were a window to a world of games and experiences that I had no chance of getting my hands on, of actually seeing in front of me on a screen, unless I went to a friend's house or a cousin. That was what I had. It was my chance to be conversant with people who had those games. So if I was at school, I could talk about Final Fantasy with a friend, or I could somewhat chat about Contra on a loose level with another friend, and I could share the Konami code with all of those other classmates who did not have the power, Nintendo Power. But of all the features and all the sections and segments of the magazine, one segment in particular always held a special fascination. And it wasn't the reviews, wasn't the previews, wasn't Counselor's Corner or Top Secret Area or the cartoons. It was the contests. The issue-by-issue contests held in Nintendo Power magazine. The contests themselves ranged from the mundane to the outright insane, and while winning was a dream, it was fun to fill out the little postcard questionnaire, pop it in the mailbox, and see what happens. But a couple of months ago, that got me thinking. Who won those things? Who actually got the letter or the phone call from somebody at Nintendo saying, hey, you just won the grand prize? Not the second prize, which worked usually a bunch of games or an accessory, and not the third prize, which early on it was a t-shirt. Man, do I wish I had one of those t-shirts, but it doesn't matter. The grand prize winner. So who did it? Who took home prizes like a trip to see American Gladiators live, or tickets to the Super Bowl, or a chance to go skiing with some guy named Tommy Moe? Welcome to episode 49, The Search for a Nintendo Power Grand Prize Winner.
Great issues plus 6 free strategy guides on a hot new game. That's twice the power for still $15. Wow, call now.
The first contest in the first edition of Nintendo Power was a modest one. 10 games of your choice from the NES library. The contests were mostly all the same, especially early on. Fill out a punch card questionnaire with your favorite games, demographics, age range, etc. Toss it in the mail, and the winners were printed in a future issue. So, I got on Internet Archive, opened up an Excel sheet and started taking names and reaching out. I started with the first winners I could find, like Kevin Flassig of Ormond Beach, Florida, who won a trip to Disney along with a holiday grab bag of an amazing amount of games. And then you have John Cazell of Manteca, California, who won an NES accessory bonanza at an Advantage and an NES Max and all those cool peripherals that were common in the day. I also wanted to talk to John Hamm of Woodbridge, Virginia, who won a mountain bike with helmet. Because, to be honest, these are kids. Gotta have the helmet. Can't just let that happen. Nintendo Power quickly stepped their game up. They had a trip to Nintendo Power headquarters, which must have been like Willy Wonka or something very boring in Washington. I'm not sure which, but the winner of that trip was never revealed. There was Matt Reeb of Metamora, Illinois, who won the Dreams Do Come True contest. I had a hard time finding exactly what his dream was to win, but I seem to remember it had something to do with a 1950-something Willie Mays baseball card. I hope they hooked that up, Nintendo Power. There was the trip for Benjamin Martinez, who won a trip to the set of Total Recall, or Aaron Collins from Oklahoma City, who won a trip to Orlando for PowerFest 1990, complete with an NWC cart. That's awesome. Hope you kept it. And then you had Kenneth Grayson, who won Bill and Ted's phone book, complete with a working phone and 1 year of paid phone bills. Or I'll try to reach out to Danny Smith of Wahoo, Nebraska, who won RoboCop's car in issue 35. Funny thing about that was they had to remove the lights on the car because, you know, you can't give a kid a cop car and the thing is a beater. But he had just gotten his license, so, you know, hopefully he had fun changing the oil in that beast. In issue 69, Seth Montgomery of Topeka, Kansas, got to be an extra on something called SeaQuest DSV, and don't at me if that's actually a really good show, I've never heard of it. And in issue 65, Eric Haberman of Santa Ana, California, won the privilege of being Troy Aikman's golf caddy. At least he also scored a game, an autographed jersey, and a trip to Six Flags over Texas. All of these were strikeouts. There is a lot of Eric Habermans out there in the world. There are a ton of Benjamin Martinez's. But then I got a hit. Meet Johnny Esposito, formerly of Burbank, California. In issue 8 of Nintendo Power, he answered a postcard questionnaire and popped it in the mail. And a couple of months later, he won the grand prize. A trip to the set of RoboCop 2. This is his story.
Well, I mean... Growing up, I mean, I was playing video games like Atari 2600, you know what I mean, stuff like that. And then, you know, the 80s came, and then Nintendo came, and I was hooked ever since. My mom actually went Christmas and bought me the whole system thing, and I was hooked ever since then, you know what I mean, Mario and all that stuff. And then they came out with that, you know, the Nintendo Power magazine, and... from what I remember, I did you know, get a subscription to it.
Yep.
And so I got one. I believe I got one every month. And every month, you know, I always saw that every magazine basically had like a little contest survey thing in it, and you're able to like rip out like a postcard type thing, mail it in, and I did that every month. I mean, I can't remember exactly what all the prizes were. I know one was like the Legend of Zelda game package and stuff like that. And, if I'm not mistaken, and I think the other one, there was a few other ones. I mean, they were pretty cool ones, you know what I mean? But, I don't remember what month it was, the one I won in. I think it was March or something. 'Cause it was snowing in Houston when we went out there. So it had been like wintertime.
So you were playing a lot of games. You were obviously getting the magazine, and you're every month you would send in that card, right? And just remember, you and like thousands and thousands and thousands of kids,
you know, sending in those cards. You want to know what's something funny? I remember exactly how many kids I beat that time. It was 25,986, I believe, and I won over it.
Wow! How did you figure out how to get that number?
That they told me.
Dang, okay.
Because the funny thing is about this whole thing is at the time, you know, I have an older sister, and I'm named after my grandfather. this is funny. The contest person that, you know, called me, you know, to let me know I won, called my sister answered the phone, and the guy on the phone was like, "Yeah, is John Esposito there?" And she was like, "No."
Oh, no.
You know, she thought she was taller than my grandfather, because like I said, we're same name, everything. And she saw, "No, he's not here right now." I was on my way back from school, actually. And so the guy, she's like, "No, I think you got the wrong number. I think you're looking for my grandfather. Here's John Esposito Sr., basically." And he's like, "Well, does your grandfather play Nintendo and have a subscription to Nintendo Power?" You know what I mean? And she was like, "Well, I don't, maybe, because I know my brother does. Maybe, got in cahoots, and maybe they're trying to, you know, grandfather, grandson type thing." And he's like, I do believe the writing on this thing is like a youngster, not an older gentleman. You know what I mean? And she was like, "No, this is, you know," then she thought she was, then it was a prank call.
You're
just prank calling us. Yeah, this is ridiculous. You know, you better just leave my brother alone. Da, 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 da. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was, you know, she thought it was a joke, like for real. And then I came in from, actually, she just hung up the phone, and she tells me, she's like, "Yeah, this guy just called from Nintendo Power saying that you won some contest." And I was like, "What contest?" And she's like, "I don't know. He said he's gonna call back, you know, in a few minutes." And So my buddies are still there. So they all just left before the phone call came. The phone call came, and you know, I talked to the gentleman, and it was legit. I won out of how many? You know, how much? 25,800. It was 25,886 people that were in that contest and that were in that drawing. And he said that I won the grand prize. I know, dude. I was tripping out. And I remember that I was like, holy moly, you know what I mean? And so I remember, you know, back in the day we didn't have like we had the house phones that was still had the cord on the wall. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I know I did. Anyways, I'm not sure. But anyways, I remember trying to run with the phone, trying to catch up, you know, go out to my balcony door to yell at my buddies that I won. And it was an interesting day. You know what I mean?
I can imagine.
Out of the blue, who would have thought? I mean, I filled numerous. I mean, I had I had Nintendo Power going for at least 2 years. You know what I mean? So I filled out numerous contests, little contest things. And who would have thought, you know, out of that many people, I got chosen.
Now, how old were you when you won that contest?
So, yeah, I think I was in sixth grade. So that was, here's a good way to figure it out. When did RoboCop 2 come out?
That's a good question. That's true. When did that come out? I should be more prepared for this than I am. See how that works out?
1990. Okay, yeah. So 1990. Well, let's see. 1990. I was born in
76,
86.
So
I was like 12, 13.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that kind of tracks with what sixth, seventh grade would be. Yeah. So that's cool because you were old enough to really enjoy it and experience it. You know, I was wondering like, oh man, I wonder if he was like 8 or 9, but no, 12 or 13, man. That's cool. You have friends who of course play.
No, It was pretty cool because honestly, it was like, a lot of firsts in that experience. You know, first time on an airplane, first time going out of California. You know what right. I mean? First time, you know, winning something that big. It was a lot of firsts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
It's like it was a major cherry popper.
Now,
you know what I mean?
Yo, no, totally, man. Do you remember? Obviously, I probably were too young to know if they took care of the plane, took care of the hotel. Was that on you y'all to kind of foot the bill for, or they kind of did like all expenses paid? And you said it was Houston, right?
It was. Yeah. What I won was a trip for four to fly from fly from, you know, of course, L.A. Wherever you win from, I guess.
Right.
And fly from there to from there to Houston. And you're there for 4 days, three nights. They paid for that. They paid for the flight, the round trip. So, basically what I won, it was pretty awesome, you know, honestly. I won four trips for four people for 4 nights or 4 days, three nights in Houston at the Hyatt Regency. And they paid for the round. They paid for the plane trips back and forth. They paid for the hotel rooms, two rooms. It was, I had to go with an adult, so my mom went with me. And then, I asked a bunch of all my friends, but none of the parents would let them go because, you know, it's a travel trip. So, my aunt and my cousin went with us, I believe. So yeah, they had their own room. We had our room, you know, me, my mom and, you know, them. So they paid for two rooms, for four nights or, you know, three nights, 4 days. And then while we were there, they gave me, I believe, I could be wrong. I can't remember this portion, but I do think they gave me like spending cash because we went to like the Houston, like the big mall in Houston, like the crazy big mall. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they gave me cash to spend or if, you know, my mom just snuck it to me. You know what I mean? I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, but, that's what, yeah. Like you said, a lot of firsts there. Yeah. That's cool.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of firsts, dude. And then, you know, and then the next, you know, that was like the first night there. Like we were kind of like getting settled in and whatnot. And then the next day, they picked us up in like a white cargo van, and then drove us to set over where to they were actually doing the filming of RoboCop 2.
Now, before we dive deeper into Johnny's experiences, I'd like to step back a bit and talk about RoboCop, and specifically RoboCop 2. The first RoboCop is a nearly perfect movie. If you define movie perfection by the metric of how close it meets and exceeds the director's intent, you know, if it's a comedy, how much does it make you laugh? If it's a war biopic, how much does it make you feel? How accurate is it to the period? What was the director's intent? And if the director was trying to create a very on-the-nose satire soaked in 80s violence and just enough heart to keep it on the ground, Paul Verhoeven nails it in nearly every aspect. The script is good. The action's great. It's funny and brutal, and all the emotions are conjured up in it. It's just a wonderfully made film. And it's one of my favorites. RoboCop 2, not so much. And mind you, I'm going to defend it a bit. As a film, it's fine. This is a perfectly fine movie. As a sequel to RoboCop 1, it never had a chance. It just wasn't going to meet that mark. RoboCop 2 is an action comedy with a real heavy lean towards the comedic. This is a silly, silly movie with dark aspects to it. But both of these films are a hard R. And like the Total Recall trip I discussed a little earlier, Nintendo had this weird early penchant for sending children to the sets of R-rated movies. So what scene did Johnny get to check out? Was it that charming moment when Kane shoots up the warehouse? Was it the time where one failed prototype commits suicide and another pulls off its head to reveal this gross, disgusting, screaming skull? Or maybe it was that charming scene when doctors kill Kane, remove his brain, and plop it, eyes and spinal cord still attached, into a bubbling jar of clear science liquid. So what scene did Johnny get to experience? Let's find out.
I liked RoboCop growing up. You know, I still do. You know what I mean?
Of course.
You know, being a kid, being, you know, seeing it like a live action portion of the movie being like actually filmed, was pretty cool. So there's another first right there. You know, first time actually seeing a motion picture in the works. You know what I mean? Something that you're going to actually see on TV or in the movie theater. And, you know, we got to watch them complete that one scene where they were, I'm sure you've seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah. It was that one scene where they were in the auditorium and Peter Weller comes in, and with that big old, like, 50 caliber freaking bang-bang gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, I forget his line. You know, I totally forget his line. He has like a certain like one liner, like
behave yourselves.
And he shoots that thing, and then that thing starts shooting all you know all the seats in front of him get all shot up. All that was like dummy little like fake stuff, dude. That was like just put there, you know. So when they were doing this, when they actually shot the scene, it was like little exploding pads make it look like the bullets were hitting chairs.
Oh, cool! The little squibs that kind of made it look like that. That's interesting. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So all that you see is like, you know, it looks totally different. Like when you're watching a movie, of course, but like see it actually happening. I know they put the special effects in it and whatnot after, you know, like kind of, you know, doll it up more. But yeah, that was kind of neat to see that. And then I was able to like, you know, out of RoboCop, that 50 caliber, they gave me I wish I still had it, dude. They gave me the bullet shell from it.
Oh, that's cool. That's super cool.
Like, yeah, dude. And unfortunately, throughout my crazy life, I misplaced it somewhere in time. You know what I mean? But it was pretty cool that, you know, that thing was huge, dude.
Yeah.
And, but that, you know, that was a pretty cool, I mean, Peter Weller actually gave it to me.
Wow. So you got to meet him.
I think back then, I don't know if I should say this, but he was dealing with like kidney stones or something. So he wasn't really feeling well.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that whole scene right there, he was like just nauseous and like just sick, dude. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, just not feeling well, but he's a trooper, dude. He did the whole scene. You know what I mean? Like nothing. Even had to do that kick. That gun had a major kick. They had like a steel, like, you know, kind of like by his lower back on his butt. They kind of like had him sitting on like a kickstand, basically. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That gun had such a kick.
Like propping him up,
you know,
almost,
I mean?
Like, so he doesn't, for all the kickback.
Yes. Because, you know, it's RoboCop, man. That gun ain't going to move. You know what I mean?
No, of course not. It's RoboCop.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
man.
So, I mean, it's like, I mean, he was like leaning up against, like this kickstand when he shot that thing. And, so I, you know, that was pretty cool. But you don't see any of that when, you know, on the movie, of course, they cut it all out.
Yeah, of course. They kind of hide it with the camera angles and such. So you got to meet Peter Weller, and he was a trooper and spent a little time, you know, kind of introduce himself, shake your hand, give you a bullet casing, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. He gave me a bullet casing. He gave me I put the bullet casing on RoboCop's, I guess, photo that he gave me, like, you know, like an actor kind of like, you know, profile photo, you know, he signed it RoboCop. He signed it Peter Weller, you know, his original name and then RoboCop, of course. And then I stuck the bullet shell on the picture right there. And I used to have it hung up in my room for like forever until We moved one time and yeah, we got lost in the move.
Yeah, that happens, man. That's a bummer, but that's really cool, man. So did you get a chance to meet any of the other cast, or was it just it sounds like that was just a Peter Weller scene. So,
I don't know her name. The lady actor, the lady cop.
Oh, Nancy Allen.
With the curly. Yes. I did meet her. You know, she was nice. It was a quick little hi, nice to meet you type thing. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was just like real quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to meet her. I believe I met. I had to meet the. I met the director. I believe I met the director. She was the one person. I shook his hand.
That's
so hard
cool.
to remember. But it was like almost. Yeah, it was like almost 20 years ago. I mean, for a 14-year-old kid, I mean that's something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, Irvin Kershner directed RoboCop 2. Big deal, director. I mean, Irvin Kershner did Empire Strikes Back. You know, like big deal director.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was an honor. You know what I mean? It was something that you know, someone like me, a nobody. Yeah, still, you know, just a nobody growing up, you know, just out of the blue, you know what I mean? That was, I thought it was kind of cool.
No,
you know,
that's
my mom got
cool,
to meet
man.
Everybody. You know. Yeah, and then I guess the next couple episodes or a couple magazines later, that's when they revealed the winner of that contest. I think it took like a month or two or a month or something like that. And like, you know, my name comes up in the magazine as the grand prize winner. And I don't know probably how many people, you know, that got that magazine. You know, I've seen my name in there. That's kind of cool too.
Yeah, you know? Man. Did you show it off to all your friends? Like, hey, first off, I find it such a bummer that like none of your friends could make it with you because their parents were like, no, you can't get on a plane to Houston, like to watch, you know, the shooting of an R-rated movie. So I think
that's pretty much what it was. Much what it was. It was traveling to Houston. Their parents couldn't have come because it was only 4 tickets. You know, I mean, my mom would have been in charge of like everybody.
No, man, but that's still really cool. You got to experience that. You got to meet actors. You got a free trip to Houston. And I imagine it was kind of like the next night or next day you probably flew out and that was probably it, right?
No, actually, I forgot. Not that night, but after the last night that we were there, they actually took us to, took me, not my mom, because she didn't want to go, but they took us to, I want to say it was like a WWE match type, wrestling match type thing.
Get out of here. That's cool.
No, yeah, dude. I want to say it's like one of the wrestling matches that they don't actually televise. Like, it wasn't Raw. It wasn't SmackDown. It wasn't anything like that. It was like one of their little side little gigs that they do for like the upper up-and-coming guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
like,
I mean?
Like undercard, lower undercard, but... Yeah, like the smaller leagues, you know, like underground wrestling kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and then of course they have their few headliners. You know, like that. I saw Junkyard Dog.
Okay.
Ted DiBiase.
Nice. There we go. Million Dollar Man.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's two to name. That's two that I can actually remember seeing. But like I said, it was something small, low key. We thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, and then after that, we went back to the hotel, and then that morning we got picked up and got taken to the airport and went home. I mean, it was a cool little experience. I mean, shoot, I was just lucky. I was just, lucky to be able to experience that. You know what I mean? It was pretty cool. I would have been happy just going to the movie set and watching what I watched. You know what I mean? All the extra, all the other stuff was just a bonus.
As Johnny and I continued chatting, one thing became abundantly clear. Nintendo Power didn't just send him on a trip. They took care of him and everyone he was with. The wrestling match was a spur-of-the-moment thing. He went to a monstrous mall. He witnessed the filming of a kick-ass scene, complete with a meet-and-greet with the actors. He got on a plane for the first time. Nintendo Power didn't just send him on a little vacation to see a quick scene of RoboCop 2. They curated an experience, one that would be a tentpole moment for the balance of his adolescent life. But before we went our separate ways, I wanted to put Johnny's win in perspective. Sometimes we as human beings take the cool things that happen in our lives and downplay them. You know, they're part of our story, but just a small piece. And as it lives in our story and that story grows, those really amazing moments sometimes get lost in the shuffle. And I don't think we should do that. I think we really should. You know, this show is all about looking back, right? And I truly think it's cool to think back on those amazing moments that to us have become second nature. So I made one last attempt to just reinforce to Johnny how awesome his contest win really was. Before we kind of hang up, I wanted to share with you a quick calculation I just did. So you said you were about out of 25,000 entries, you had won the contest. Throughout the lifespan of Nintendo Power, which it was 286 issues, the contest stopped around issue 194, as best as I could research. So if you do the calculation, if you assume 25,000 kids entered 194-ish, let's call it 190 contests, you for over almost 5 million entries of contests, sweepstakes, were submitted. And you are one of about 185 winners out of nearly 5 million kids. When I put it in that perspective, what does that make you feel? Like, how does that hit you when I share that very loose statistic?
I mean, now that you say, I mean, I was happy with the 25,000, but I mean, you do it that way, you know what I mean? That right there is kind of, wow.
It's cool, man. It's one of those things where that's why I wanted to talk to you, because there are such a limited amount of people who won grand prizes. Now, there was lots of second prizes, third prizes, you know, that's a different story, but grand prize winners, there were about 190, because some months they wouldn't do a contest because they had like other things going on. So I figure like about and for you to be one of those, you know, small group of winners out of millions and millions of entries from adults to kids to grandparents. That's cool, man. And what do you take away from that? Like, I don't know, man. How does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, now it feels like, you know, if you would have asked me this question after I won and came back home, I probably would have said that was the best experience in my life. You know, because I was 14 and I've seen, you know, things since then. But I got to say, that was one of the best experiences in my teen years.
Sure, sure.
As far as excitement, you know what I mean? Only thing I've won big ever since, you know, and... Yeah. I feel honored. You know, to be honest with you, I feel honored to be a part of Nintendo history. You know what I mean? Because you know I am.
Yes, you are.
That right there alone, you know what I mean? And that right there alone is priceless, dude.
After Johnny's win, the Nintendo Power sweepstakes became a staple of the magazine. And everyone knows the famous ones, like in Volume 77 with the Mask 2, the winner didn't get to go to the Mask 2 taping because it didn't happen. It didn't happen for another 10 years. And he ended up getting up some cash and a bunch of games, and Nintendo Power ended up taking care of him as well. And Destructoid did a really good article on that story, so be sure to check it out. It's pretty good. But the last issue of Nintendo Power that had a contest was issue 194. It was one issue after they did their final rebrand of the magazine to something hipper and edgier. They even replaced that classic logo from the late 80s, early 90s with something blocky, chunky, and very, very 2005. The contest itself was a chance to win two copies of the game Polarium and two Nintendo DS systems to play them on. Kind of an inauspicious end to the Nintendo Power sweepstakes. But for Johnny and his family who went on that trip, Nintendo Power will always be synonymous with one of the greater moments of his life. They didn't just throw him on a plane, send him to a set, and hope for the best. They made it special. And in a world where things aren't as special as they seem, or always sometimes seem to be too good to be true, I found it really refreshing to learn that Johnny got everything that was advertised and more. And Johnny's story forced me to think about moments in my life. Cool moments that I kind of shrug off like, oh yeah, that happened. When to the rest of the world, wow, that was pretty awesome. I was on the Jimmy Fallon show, on the actual show, playing music. I did that. I've been on daytime TV probably almost 30 times. Super cool. And everybody has these moments. Everyone has these things that make up the flavor and the color of our life that we sometimes take for granted. So if there's one takeaway from Johnny's story, well, actually two takeaways. Nintendo Power took care of their contest winners, and it's okay to look back at the cool things in your life and smile. Thank you so much for checking out this edition of A Gamer Looks at 40. If you haven't done so already, follow me on Twitter at agamerlooksat440. Linktree in the bio. Click that thing. All the podcast stuff is there. Follow me all over the place. And if you enjoy this show, please leave a rating and a review on your pod player of choice. It would be greatly appreciated. Thanks again for checking out the show, and continue staying awesome.